understand that those who don't have access to Wi-Fi have been given a hard copy. So hopefully we'll be able to go through the meeting. Okay, members? Okay. Are we okay, Louise?
Yeah.
Thank you. Item number three, members, the action sheet, if we could go through it page by page for accuracy. Page one, I don't have it on my page. Page two, page three, page four.
Page one.
Councillor Owen?
Hi, just on page one there, where it says about members training, I would just like to raise it with the committee that as a councillor who was co-opted on, I have still had no formal training. Now, I do appreciate that whenever it comes round to councillors and May elections and things like that, there is some form of formal induction training for them. But I do think that certainly from a risk and a governance point of view, for the council, it is worthwhile flagging it up that new councillors that are maybe co-opted on have something in place, because certainly it's a case of sink or swim. For new councillors, and I would certainly like to see something like that brought in. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor Owen. I think we got to page... Can we just do page four? Just an item for maybe correction. The Statement of Accounts, AC067, it's recorded as noted. I think members approved that on the day, because there will be proposing a seconder for that particular item. Okay, page five. Page 6. Okay, can we have a proposer and seconder to agree the action points? Councillor Owen? Councillor Byrne. Thank you. Item number 4, the Corporate Risk Register, if we pass that to the Director. Thank you, Director.
Thank you, Chair. So, members in front of you are presenting today the Corporate Risk Register, and you'll see we have a cover sheet which shows you the key movements, and the full register is there for you to see. In your report, you'll note at 2 that we've no new risks added to the Corporate Risk Register since you last saw it in September. It was reviewed by the SMT at their December meeting. We're highlighting to you 3 risks where we have made some changes. So in terms of Corporate Risk 3, non-compliance with legislative requirements, we have increased the score, and the reasons for that are in your report. Similarly, with Corporate Risk 4, failure to effectively manage waste, again, we have raised that risk score presently. In relation to Corporate Risk 7, you'll see that risk has been somewhat refocused, and that's really just to demonstrate, I suppose, the direction of travel of the organisation. Still a risk there, but just a slightly changed focus on it, and a number of other changes to the risk ratings have also been pointed out, and the action. So happy to take any comments from members or any questions, and we're asking you to note that report today.
Okay, thank you, members. Happy to note. Thank you. Item number 5, Direct Awards Contract. Gerard, if you could take this item, thank you.
Thank you, Chair. In the third quarter of the 19-20 financial year, the Council awarded 33 contracts for the Direct Awards with a total value of $455,000. So, as you can see by my comparisons, in quarter 2 we only had 11 contracts with a value of $155,000. So there have been substantial increase, and there's a number of reasons for the increase. First of all, we had 9 SGAs this quarter in relation to the compatible CFS over 2020, which had a total of 110,000. Intern audit done a review of tourism and festivals in December 18 and highlighted that the rationale for the need for an SGA was fully justified with a very unique performance. They did recommend that the council could establish a framework agreement for those performers who regularly use the council festivals. So, speaking with the Assistant Director of Tourism, we're not sure if a framework is possible for local performers. However, he is considering using a type of booking agent if it proves to be value for money at the council, and he currently is in with other councils to see what they do and how they manage single tender actions in relation to effective performances. There was three single tender actions relating to Christmas illuminations from 2019 amounting to 42,000. And then finally, the last reason, probably the main reason why the SDAs have increased is due to the procurement team apparently completing an exercise. So they're monitoring annual expenditure by supplier and on an amount basis, going through it and seeing what large value suppliers and if there is some contracts in place. If there isn't contracts in place, these will highlight it to the service managers. But until the time where the specifications have been developed and their contracts in place, this expenditure has to be highlighted on the single tender action as a openness and transparency. So it is likely this will lead to an increase in SDAs in the coming autumn leave until the contract register is fully in place. Thank you.
Thank you, Jared. Members' questions? Councillor Byrne.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. Just when you're saying the increase in FTAs, see when I'm looking through this, we're looking at the possibility in the future of, I'm talking about the Sylvester Day Festival and all the unique performances and that, of using a booking agent. And to be honest, when I was reading through this and I seen a booking agent, value for money, and artistic performances, I nearly fell off my chair. But see if we do go down the route of booking agents. Does that mean that it's no longer a direct award contract? Because there are many options out there, even though the performance itself is unique. So if we do go down that route, will it not decrease the DSEs that we have here?
That would decrease the number of DSEs, but he's not. That was one option he's put forward, but only if it's value for money. And if it's not going to be value for money and create more hassle for the councils.
But it wouldn't be a direct award contract anymore if it was a booking agent.
No, because
that then the process.
If you had someone like a booking agent, then that would be the procurement exercise to get that supplier in place. But it'll only be, that would be only the way forward if it's value for money and doesn't create extra problems. So he's currently using with other councils to see what way they manage single tender actions in relation to performances.
Yeah, it's from your information, Chair. And also when you see pay levels of direct award contracts, you think, how can we, you know, surely there must be a way of going out to procurement for this, or there must be other options. So that was just from the own information. Thanks.
Yeah, I was just going to say, you know, the level of STAs or direct award contracts that there are here is very high, as you know, higher than I've seen in other councils. And it should be something that is a priority for the council. It's something we've identified in our report to the Charter of Governance as well. There's a number of procurement issues, so it is something that's really, in order to show that you're achieving value for money, should be a priority for the council.
Thank you, Tomás. Yes, looking at the figure of the three quarters, I would agree. I'm sure all members, we discussed this at our pre-meeting. It is very high, at 865,000 for the three quarters to date. And I was going to ask Gerard, in relation to the procurement team exercise, when and does he know when that exercise will actually be completed? Ken.
Thank you, Chair. Exercise that we have two procurement officers dealing solely with doing contracts. It is taking longer than we had hoped. We had hoped that a 3-month contract, and they are now 4 months into that exercise. It looks as if it will take another 6 months to conclude. There's around about 100 tenders to be processed.
And just for clarification, Ken, so the exercise is about matching up, and what will happen then when you've identified all of those? You think there'll be 100 tenders to go out?
There'll be 100
procurement exercises. Okay. Thank you. Any further questions, members? Councillor Owen?
Can I just ask, whenever something goes out for single tender action or a direct award, is there not a protocol that has to go through as in the justification as to why that single tender action is? Because surely, you know, in my own experience, you know, in healthcare, you can only go and buy a certain thing to go on a Philips machine. So if you need an upgrade to that Philips machine, you can only go to Philips. But even at that, as much as that's clearly obvious, we still need to go through a protocol as to why we couldn't go out to, say, GE, or we couldn't go out to someone else. Is there something similar then in the council, you know, to try and at least whenever we come back from an audit perspective, we can then turn around and go, well, you know, that's justifiable and that's why that was spent, paper trail.
Yes, Councillor, there is a protocol. It is, it's built into our procurement policy. So just like you say, and actually what we've presented in front of you, there is a rationale has to be provided as to why you're going down that direct award route. It has to be authorised by a director. We've gone through and done a significant amount of staff training, and part of that staff training is very much outlining to staff the reasons that you can award under direct award and very much the reasons that you can't. You might like to, but there are the reasons that you can't. What I would say in terms of the artistic, you know, ones which we touched upon, it is very much in our policy that unique artistic performances are one reason that you can justifiably go to single tender action. So I suppose it is important for us to say whilst we are bringing them to your attention, because our protocol is to bring all to this committee over £5,000. It is within our policy and again within central government standard good practice in this area that you can, and that's where we are particularly high. I think this quarter is because St Patrick's Day payments have fallen into this quarter, and then we are rightly or wrongly trying to regularise our spend as best we can as we go through this big piece of work around procurement. And so as we are highlighting contracts that have really fallen out of contract, we are ensuring that they are highlighted to this committee, ensure they're highlighted to the director, raising an FTA on them pending going out to, you know, a procurement exercise. So it is a process that we're going through, but it's very much to address those issues that we know we have had in the past on procurement.
Any other questions?
Yeah. Yes, just one question around the annual maintenance of the finance system, item number 30 there. I take it that Cisco is the only organisation that can provide the support for our finance system, and is the IT strategy looking to remove that single point of failure so that we can go out for a procurement of support that may be of better value?
So this is, we operate a finance system, we would call it Sun Systems. This is the owner of Sun Systems, so we have to go out annually for them to maintain their system. As part of the IT strategy, we're looking at a new finance system, we are probably going to, a lot of the other councils are also looking, so currently what I am thinking of doing is going out and buying a system in line with other councils as well to try and get economies of scale on that purchase.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's about 9 of the other councils all use one finance system at the minute. It's being unsupported in the market in 2 years' time. So that's probably the trajectory for us buying a new system. It seems to be the most economical value for money approach.
Yeah.
And so I would expect that you'll see an annual FTA for the next 2 years to support our current system.
Okay. And when you say, sorry, to maintain, so they
support
24/7, and is it a license fee as well then for the application that we're using?
That's a license fee as well? No, it's not a license fee. It's just their maintenance and support. That one, yeah.
All right.
Okay. Thank you, Director. Can we agree to note item number 5, the Director Awards contract? Okay, thank you, members. Item number 6, prompt payment statistics. Gerard, if you would take this report.
Thank you, Chair. So for the period 1st of July 2019 to the 30th of September 2019, Council paid 17% of all invoices within 10 days, and within 30 days we paid 89% of all invoices, and the average number of days to pay a supplier was 19. Just this morning, we got the stats for the third quarter from the 1st of October to the 31st of December 19. So the number of invoices paid within 10 days remains the same at 17%, and the number paid within 30 days has increased to 91%. So the payment paid outside the period is 9%, so there is a slight improvement, and these will be reported formally in the yearbook committee. Thank you.
Thank you, Jared. Any questions, members? Members happy to note? Thank you. Thank you, Jared. This here? Yeah. Thank you. Items 7 through to 16 are deemed to be exempt under paragraph 3 of part 1 of Schedule 6 of the Local Government Act, Northern Ireland, 2014. Information relating to the financial or business affairs of any particular person, including the council holding that information and the public, may by resolution be excluded during this item of business. So could we have a proposer and seconder to go into closed business? Councillor Owen and Councillor Devon. Thank you. We have no members of the press. The report back and what was agreed. Is that okay?
So whilst in closed session, the following items were noted. Item 7, update on audit recommendations, including risk profile. Item 8, update on fraud and whistleblowing. Item 9, ASM progress report. And on the proposal of Councillor Enright, seconded by Councillor Byrne, it was agreed to accept the revised 1920 internal audit plan presented by ASM. It was agreed to defer to the next meeting of the Audit Committee Item 11, the ASM internal audit report on leisure time recording, and Item 12, the ASM internal audit report on contract management. It was further agreed to note the ASM internal audit report on tourism service level agreements. It was agreed to note Item 14, the PCSP expenditure internal audit report. And on the proposal of Councillor Byrne, seconded by Councillor Sharvin, it was agreed to accept the NIAO report to those charged with governance.
Okay, thank you, Dorina. Moving on then to item number 17, the Northern Ireland Audit Office annual audit letter. Tomás, thank you.
Okay, this annual audit letter is a publicly available document and really is a sort of sanitised version of the report to those charged with governance. There's nothing particularly controversial or in it, and it just highlights some of the work that has been done in the audit and from the issues, and points out that we have given an unqualified audit opinion on the financial statements on page 5. It says that also on page 5 at the very bottom we note that our report to those charged with governance identified significant control weaknesses over fixed assets and procurement and has made recommendations to address these, but we're not going into the detail around those. Page 7 then, we're talking about the proper arrangements that are in place and what we look at in terms of proper arrangements, and at the last point there we are satisfied that the council had proper arrangements in place to secure economy efficiency and effectiveness. We make comments on governance in the next section. And there's nothing I don't think that I probably want to highlight in relation to that. Page 10, point other areas of audit interest. Point 1, we talk about absenteeism and just point out that the average number of days in the council has dropped to 14.7 compared to 17.1 the previous year, and give some explanation as to why that might be. We're doing a report right across the local government and central government looking at sick absence, and that should be coming out in the next 6 months. So that will pull together some of the best practice in regards to that and also some of the figures in relation to that. And generally local government sick levels will be higher than the rest of the public sector as a general assessment, but we'll be pulling those together shortly. And that's really all I was going to highlight. Most anything that's of more detail will be in the report to the charge of governance.
Okay, thank you very much, Tomás. Any members, any questions? Councillor Byrne? Oh, no, sorry. Okay, members, if we can agree to note the report. Thank you. Item number 18, the mid-year assessment of the performance improvement plan 1920. Joe is going to take us or speak on that.
Thank you, Chair. This report was approved and reviewed at the December FPNR committee, so it's just on here for noting. So, hang on with any queries.
Okay, members have no questions, we just agreed to note the report. Thank you. Then item number 19 is the audit and assessment report 1920 from NIAO. Is that one, Tomás, that you're going to take?
Yeah.
Tomás.
Oh, yeah, well, I just take it briefly through what we said. Basically, this is the first year that we've actually given an opinion on any of the councils in relation to performance improvement. And we were able to give in this council a standard unqualified opinion, so that's is good news. We have made two proposals for improvement, where there could be just in relation to good practice, and those are set out on page 6. Where the first one was in relation to improvement objectives, that some of the objectives that have been set appear to have been set at a very high level, which makes it more difficult to ascertain has the council been successful in achieving the objectives. And we are recommending or proposing for improvement that could redefine objectives so that they're more specific in all cases, rather than some of them were more aspirational and open-ended and more difficult to assess whether they've been achieved or not. And the second part was similar. Some of the measures of success that underpin projects aren't clearly defined, as they don't have specific targets that can be clearly associated with improvement, and the council should review the measures of success attributed to supporting actions underpinning those improvement objectives and ensure that the measures are meaningful and their achievement demonstrates actual improvement. And then just as in the annexes, page 9 and 10 set out the actual audit opinion that's been given in relation to performance improvement, and I have to say it was a positive, unqualified opinion on this council. And then the final section, Annex B, goes through the various recommendations that we have made in the past in relation to performance improvement, and they have in general been implemented or are in progress, and we were satisfied with that. And that's really all I was going to say on that, but I'm happy to take any questions.
Thank you, Tomás. Councillor Byrne?
Yeah, we discussed this at FPNR, as I said in the last item, but when you're talking about redefining the objectives, some should be more specific. We agreed with that maybe the targets or the measures of success should be specific, but we definitely wanted to have some aspirational objectives that we know what we want to reach for and leave it open-ended. But yes, the measures of success, how we're getting there, and we're measuring it, should be specific itself. So there was a bit of debate back and forth on that, so it sort of depends what way you look at it. A mix of both, probably a hybrid of both. So it is a criticism if they're all just aspirational and you've no way of measuring it. So a mix of both, I think, going forward is the way to go. But we did discuss that at length, just to make that point when you've made it there.
Okay, thank you, Councillor Byrne. Any further questions? Okay, can we agree to note that report, members? Thank you. And the last two items on the agenda are circulars for members to read at their leisure. Thank you, members. That concludes the meeting today. Thank you all. Safe homes.